The juggling act begins. So just on behalf of Eugene and myself, we wanted to say welcome and also a massive thank you. We count it as a real blessing that we're part of this community, and it's a privilege to be able to share Emrys's dedication with all of you. We know that for many of you, it's not been easy to get here. I admired the sprint up the drive in the downpour in particular, but people have come by plane, by boat, by car to get here. And for some people, it's not easy to be here, and we recognise that. And we thank you for being here anyway. Emrys is many things. Stefan thinks he's cute. Wales Online described him as historic. But of course, to us, he's just perfect. And we bring all of that to God today. So thank you. And over to Eugene for our bit.
That's me. Here it goes. I'm gonna have to do it. Morning, everybody. Morning. Thank you. That's nice. Thanks. God, our Creator, thank you for the expectant waiting and the joy of arrival. Thank you for new life and for parenthood. Thank you for the gift of Emrys entrusted to our care. May we be patient and understanding, ready to guide and forgive, that in our love, Emrys may know your love. May he learn to love your world and all those in it.
Right, so it is a happy day indeed, isn't it? A day like this. It is such a privilege to share this with you. And there's been all sorts of days preceding this, not all of which have been perfectly happy. And there are all sorts of days to come, not all of which will be perfectly happy. In fact, is any day ever perfectly happy? But the essence of what we're doing today really is, obviously it's centered around little Emrys, but it is involving every single one of us. And really it's about us showing up for each other, for Rebecca and Eugene and Stefan and Emrys, and saying that we're with you in the same way that God says he's with us. And that total like mirror of your love for him and your sense that he's just gorgeous and perfect, it's a beautiful reminder for us to let ourselves imagine that that's the way God might look at us. And that if we were to sort of shut our eyes and picture God's face looking at us, just picture this kind of vibe. Isn't it? It's hard to let ourselves imagine it because we know how flawed we are and all that sort of stuff, but that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, isn't it? Our flaws. It's about unconditional, deep, deep love that God has. And so a dedication and a thanksgiving is such a beautiful reminder of that for us just to hold and to know. And in those like not so easy days, to be like when we were discussing our not so great parenting moments the other day, weren't we? There was an incident that I shan't repeat now, that I just look back and think that was bad. But I have to let myself imagine that even in that moment, God was looking at me going, "That's my girl, she's doing her best." Let's hope so. So it's that oneness of community that we celebrate, the oneness of God, the connection of all, and God holding us as we hold each other, as we hold you, as you hold Emrys in this day. So we're going to invite godparents and parents to come up for our next little bit. And we invite you to light your candle from the center light and also place it on the table. So where's our little taper? There it is. So if you light it from this one, and then light yours.
God, who gave up all to become a baby, help us to be wise guides as Emrys begins his journey with you. As his world grows, may we walk with him, inspire him, protect him, encourage him, correct him, build him up, trust him, and release him.
So what a wonderful image that is of our light that started with one, with God, and grew to the family and then to the godparents and then to all of us. So let's continue in that vein with not just this beautiful family, but all of the people who are part of our community living life through all sorts of challenges. So I'm just going to pray to finish. Father, God, who knows each person on this planet, who created the stars and yet loves us, who is everywhere and also is here with us. We thank you. We thank you for Emrys. We thank you for the Fogarty family and all of the wider community around them. Father God, be with us. Be with us as we continue putting our one foot in front of each other every day in following you and in connecting with each other. So thank you. We thank you for being here. We thank you for Emrys. Amen.
So I'm giving you some information about what is coming up in the next few weeks. Those of you who were part of Linden know that we, from time to time, have a two-week dedication of prayer, which you can sign up to on WhatsApp, modern technology, and we will send out a daily prayerful thought, prayer request, and previously we've spent 2 weeks praying for children, which is quite apt for today, for the world around us, looking at some issues of poverty and loneliness. And in the next session, starting from the 9th of September, we're going to be looking at focused prayer for creation. It's going to tie into Fair Trade Fortnight, which is celebrating 30 years of fair trade. When I read that, I thought, oh, I am quite old. I would have said 15, but 30 years Fair Trade has had products on their shelves in supermarkets. So can anyone shout out a few Fair Trade products that they might know of? Bananas, thank you, Howard. Coffee, chocolate, see where your mind goes, madam. Chocolate, wine, and I can see where yours goes. So there is a variety of things out there that Fair Trade support farmers, providers, so that we can create a world that is equitable and fair to those farmers. This year, Fair Trade is titled, You Can Be the Change, spotlighting how by choosing Fair Trade, every time we reach for our coffee or our tea, we can support better prices, safer working conditions, local sustainability, and fair terms for farmers and their workers. We know that this affects not only those farmers and workers in far-reached countries, but of course we know even our farmers have struggled with prices of milk, what they earn versus what Tesco's and Sainsbury's and other good retailers pay them. So it's really important, isn't it, sometimes I think, to make choices when we're standing in the aisle, that if it means an extra 20 pence, and sometimes it does, that we have to decide, okay, well that's maybe one less bottle of wine, madam. Did you know that in 2008, Wales, our gorgeous little perfect country, became the first nation in the world to actively pursue ethical trade? Did you know that? Wales. Isn't that amazing? We made our mark in history, the first nation. So what that means is that government down, they actively try and ethically source, have conversations, advocate for fair trade. And Swansea Council has been committed to fair trade. I thought I'd get in Swansea Council, Rebecca, are you pleased? Thank you, because Rebecca runs it. I just want to prophesy that for the next 10 years. But Swansea Council has been involved in fair trade and has an ethical trade forum, and we are a part of that as Linden. Oh, thank you. I forgot about my slides. Brilliant. There's a few bits up there. Linden has been a fair trade church pretty much as long as anyone can remember, so I'm going to tell you all the different things that we've been involved with, and I want to thank Christina for putting this together. And even Christina can't remember when we started, so that must tell you it's been quite some time. She's even thinking it might be like the whole 30 year. So we've been involved in some way. So we've tried to ethically source. So our tea and coffee has always been fair trade. I don't know whether you know that. And we try and be mindful of how we run this building and everything in it. We've also promoted fair trade ethically sourced goods, such as Palestinian olive oil. Do you remember that when we did that? Sari bags made by former street workers. We've had that. We've had fair trade vests and pants. Anybody still got those? Are they holding up strong? And much, much more. We've supported Oystermouth Primary School here in Mumbles and Bishops and Comprehensive to achieve their fair trade school status. Isn't that wonderful? By taking their lessons, doing assemblies. Indeed, our Lyndon community, to be fair, has had a long, long history of investing in the local community and the world about us. We champion the voice of the voiceless. We champion supporting those who are a little more vulnerable than perhaps the fortunate place that we find ourselves in. Some of us marched in Edinburgh as part of Jubilee 2000, raising awareness through Stop the Traffic, an international coalition movement in over 40 countries that called for cancellation for third world debt by the year 2000. You might have remembered seeing that through the news. Bono was an active voice in that process. Well, basically, it led to the cancellation of more than £100 billion worth of debt owed by 35% of the poorest countries. Incredible, isn't it? We ran a project called Bloom, which befriended asylum seekers and women's groups of asylum seekers and refugees in Swansea over a number of years. And we've also been a part of the Swansea Night Shelter Scheme, which provided safe place for people homeless without permanent accommodation. Good food, I have to say that. We made amazing food those nights. And warm welcome to people during those winter months, so that we opened up our doors along with a number of other churches. And so every day of the week, there was somewhere dry, warm, hospitable, and somewhere that you could eat for 3 months over the coldest months. We've been part of Swansea Food Bank since 2012, providing emergency food, benefits advice, advocacy, facilitating the opportunity to help with housing, including giving warm coats during the winter months. Linda, at this point, would you mind giving us all a wave? There we go. If we have any warm coats, now is the time to go through our coat cupboard and find those ones that have been sitting there for 15 years that actually we never put on. Give a wash and a clean and bring them over to Linda, because Linda's going to re-establish our winter coat scheme, hats, scarves, gloves, that sort of thing. And of course, we run our weekly breakfast club and monthly community meals as well. Historically, Lyndon has run a Caring for Creation Bible study group and collated a sustainably resourced directory, which is on our website, if anybody's interested in looking, which will give you lots of pointers. And of course, we recycle all we can and have provided facilities to help and encourage our community to recycle too. I have been on a journey with this. So I've always recycled stuff, from clothing through to plastic and bottles and paper, but I've never recycled food up until about a year ago, when my husband said, enough is enough, Rach, get a grip, we're going to recycle food. And I was like, nope, I can't have that in my house, nope, fruit flies, nope, it's going to be smelly and dirty. You can carry on with that, Dave, I'll do the rest, but you can do the food, scraping it in, taking it out. I now have got a grip, and I now recycle food for the last year. Thank you very much. I am saving the planet, one plate at a time. Even I do that. So all this activity that we have been involved in has, wonderfully, some time ago helped us achieve bronze eco-church status. Hands up anybody who knew that we had bronze. 2, 3, excellent, 4, 5, we have. And we're actually in the process of trying to, check this out, go up to silver eco church award. What about that? So we're in the process of doing that. So this award recognizes how we care for God's world through worship, teaching, how we run our buildings to reduce our energy, carbon footprint, how we use our land to encourage biodiversity. So we've recently been growing over the last couple of years, and there's been some lovely fruit and vegetables in that. Community and global engagement, education, lifestyle, encouraging our community, in short, taking steps so that we can live in a way that safeguards the earth for future generations, such as Emerys and all the other gorgeous little ones here today. But why do we do this? I know we should do this. I know it's like what we are told to do, but why? Why bother? Well, I have a question for you. What does a new baby need to live and to thrive? What would you say? Shout out to me. Milk? Lots of it. So food, a clean bum, touch, love. That's kind of it, really, isn't it? Warmth and shelter. Food, warmth, shelter, plus love and connection from those around them. Summing it up. So the next question is, when did our need, as human beings, me, you, when did our need for food, warmth, shelter become replaced with our wants and desire for more and more stuff? So if that's enough, when did we decide it wasn't enough? Now, I'm not preaching because I love stuff. I love a pair of shoes because it doesn't matter where you fluctuate on the weight scales, they always fit. Yes? I love a pair of shoes. But what I realised reflecting on this and reflecting on my gorgeous new granddaughter and dear Emerys and Stefan before him, that our desire for more can often disconnect us from what's really important. It can separate us from each other and from creation. And of course, celebrating the birth of new life and new babies can help us refocus on the miracle that is creation that's been provided for us by God. In the same way that focusing on Fair Trade Fortnight can remind us that a God is a God of justice and equity, as opposed to our traditional worldview, let's be honest, which is always focused on earthly powers, status, wealth and possessions. For the world is created out of God's love, as we've seen this morning. I mean, this is the embodiment of love, what love is, that feeling, that connection, that joy in sharing with Rebecca and Eugene's beautiful miracles. The whole of creation is manifested on it from plants, animals, and of course, babies. So we must regularly ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, to inhabit us, to shape us, to live counterintuitively to the status quo around us, to enable us with God to reshape the world and our relationship to it. As it clearly tells us in Genesis, the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to work, Garden of Eden to work, and importantly, to take care of it. There's a partnership there. We're told that we're stewards and caretakers of God's creation. Scripture teaches us that humans have a responsibility towards the environment and to the people who work on it. As Christians, then, we have a duty to do what we can to ensure that we're environmentally responsible in our day-to-day lives and to pray for wisdom, humility in discerning how to act for good within our family, within our community, within Lindon, within Swansea, within Wales, within the UK, and, of course, our role in the wider world, so that we can pray for creation care, to tread lightly on the world that we've been given, for God's planet and for those who work and those who live from it. For God has not only called us to hear his word, but to act on it. What's the second most important commandment in Scripture? Can anyone tell me? Love your neighbour as yourself. And that does include more than just your family. It includes everyone that we keep in contact with, as well as our city and our country, and those people that pick bananas in Guatemala. Do I know that there's any bananas picking in Guatemala? No, but I thought that might sound like they do pick bananas in Guatemala. Do they? Inspired. Holy Spirit already working through me. For God calls us not only to hear his word, but to act upon it. So I hope that you will sign up to the next 2-week WhatsApp prayer space, and we will send you daily prayer points. And I would ask that during that, we would spend time just thinking, how can I make this season of creation care a time to act? What one, just one thing can I do to help ensure God's desired future for the world he loves, the world that he has provided for us, for Emrys, for Stefan, for the others? What can we do that makes sure that we work as stewards and caretakers to provide that space for this generation to come? What small shift in our own behaviour can we make to become more connected with creation, to take better care of it, and for the people who work tirelessly on it? Over the years, Linden as a body has intentionally served God's heart for justice. So amongst us as a community, many, many of us will be able to share stories and share times that we've intentionally connected with the world around us so that we can provide for our families and the wider community. Ultimately, we're gardeners, caretakers, we're stewards, servants, overseers for the kingdom of God. Fair Trade Fortnight reminds us to be the change. It's not for them to sort out, it's for us to participate. For our calling as Christians is not to wait for God to come and rescue us from a sick planet. It's to seek the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen.